So I like to think it's a little bit of wishful thinking. Rain is always nice, and it delays the inevitable a little bit. But more rain also means more vegetation growth. I like to say it's 6-1, half dozen the other. We either have a dry winter and a dry season, and maybe fire season will be here a little sooner, or we have plenty of wet weather, which is plenty of water for the vegetation to grow. Either way, summer is going to be here, and we're going to have plenty of vegetation available to burn. And so even with wet weather, all it takes is a few warm days with a little bit of wind, and that precipitation evaporates fairly rapidly.
What kind of fire season are you expecting this year?
So we plan for an aggressive fire season. We got lucky after the terrible year of 2018. We had somewhat of a reprieve in that 2019 was not as severe or as aggressive, but that could change. We all pray for a moderate fire season and easy weather, but we plan for the worst. So we plan for a busy fire season. If we get something other, then I would call us lucky.
Could you just briefly explain to people who live in the wildland urban interface and other fire prone areas in the North State what they should be doing now to prepare for the fire season?
People need to be taking the time now and working on their defensible space, working on preparing for upcoming fire season. And they can do that by absorbing the litany of literature that's online. Any fire agency has information available. It's out there. It's been out there. People need to take advantage of the information that's out there to reduce their risk. There's four websites that are somewhat my favorites. They are very complete with information. The first and foremost is readyforwildfire.org. That's put on by our state fire agency, Cal Fire. It's very well put together and very inclusive of pertinent information. The other three are ready.gov, FEMA.gov, and NFPA.org. All four of those websites have all the pertinent information people need to be aware of to plan for, be prepared, both before fire season and during fire season, including what to do if fire is approaching, staying prepared, planning to evacuate, when to go, where to go, what to do. All that information is included on those websites. The defensible space that people should be working on, again, is included in those four websites. You know, the state regulation is 100 feet defensible space, and that does not mean that one has to clear cut. That's just preparing and providing that defensible space both for their own protection. You know, the greatest investment is our homes, generally. We want to protect that and reduce our risk. And people don't have to be overly aggressive. You can start small by, you know, raking combustible debris away from the home, away from the foundation, fences and decks, cleaning their gutters, working on what's called the home ignition zone, which is that first 5 feet around the exterior walls of their structure. They can work on the home ignition zone, work on their defensible space. All the information is out there. It doesn't mean clear cutting. It just means reducing the vegetation that's within close proximity of our home to give us a fighting chance during an approaching wildfire. It's generally not the body of the fire that gets us. Generally, it's firebrands. It's flying embers that can fly well in advance of an approaching wildfire. During car fire, we had spotting a half a mile away. And those flying embers are basically seeds for future fire. They land in all kinds of things like duffy vegetation, landscape bark, gutters, wood fences. And then those are little seeds for incipient fires that eventually grow and cause some extensive damage. So people need to be aware of that, and they can educate themselves by going to those four websites that I mentioned.
So I want to talk a little bit about this new Code Red system. Is this for the entire county of Shasta?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So who can sign up, and how does it work?
So anybody can sign up for Code Red. You can visit the City of Reading website, either go to the Reading Police Department. You can go to City of Reading, the Reading Fire Department, or they can go to just Google Code Red. You can go to Shascom 911 is another way. There's a red button on there that says Code Red. All you have to do is click on it. It'll take you to an easy sign up. I went through the process this morning just to refamiliarize myself with it, and it took about 3 minutes to sign myself up, including my home phone number and my cell phone number. And by doing so, people will be then alerted via voice recording, text of an emergency or some type of an event in the area that they've registered their phones. So when I registered my home, I'll get alerts of anything that's going along in my particular area, including Amber Alerts, missing children, weather warnings, fires, evacuation notices, et cetera. But people have to remember that although that is an excellent way to stay informed, and staying informed is part of being prepared both before and during an event, that's just one method. I'm kind of old school, and I like to have a battery-operated AM/FM radio. You know, during car fire, those people that had been registered with Code Red did indeed get appropriate alerts and stay informed. But there was also instances where those cell phone towers had been impacted by fire. So in that case, that cell phone tower is no longer available to send those Code Red alerts. I happen to stay informed by listening to AM and FM radio on our local radio stations was personally the way I stayed informed. So that's another thing people can do to be prepared and stay prepared is to have a battery-operated AM/FM radio, just in case, just to have it as a backup.
So for the Code Red system, do you know what percentage of the population has signed up or the numbers of people that have signed up?
No, I don't know the numbers of how many people sign up. I would imagine there's some type of statistics available, which I didn't look up. But the program itself has been around, I believe, since 1998. And according to the literature from Code Red, they've got thousands of various agencies that utilize Code Red to provide valuable information to people who sign up for it. And it's only as good as the information you put into it. So it doesn't cost you anything. And it takes, like I said, about 2 or 3 minutes to enter your information. And you can put in your landline number at home, including your address. You can put in as many cell phone numbers as you like, your work number, wherever you want to be notified. You will then be notified of any pertinent information.
Now, do you know if your cell phone is off or on silent mode? My phone doesn't ring when I'm sleeping at night. Will the alert system wake it up and break through?
No, not unless you have your phone set to an alert. You'll still get the information. It'll be waiting for you when you get up. But it depends on how important that information is to you, whether you want to receive it when you're sleeping or wait until you get up. But you can also have your home phone registered with Code Red. So that's another way to be notified as well. You have as many numbers as you want.
Is there a way to track if the messages are getting to the recipients? Because as you said, cell phone during a fire, cell phone towers often go down. There were lots of stories that I heard, especially during the campfire, which is closer to where I am in Chico, where people were signed up but didn't get the messages. Is the system being hardened in a way to make sure that a larger percentage of the people who sign up get those messages?
I've been advised that they have made improvements to the system and hardened the infrastructure, but it's not foolproof. So you need to have that. If you call that plan A, you should have a plan B. That's where, you know, something as simple, the old technology comes into play to have a battery operated radio. You know, the cell phones and technology is very convenient these days, and it's part of our everyday lives, but it is subject to failure. It is only, you know, it's not foolproof. So always have a plan B.
Yeah, I know this isn't a perfect system, of course. No system can be. But is the Code Red system tested to try to improve the reliability and hardiness of it?
I've been told that it's tested on a regular basis. I'm unaware of how they verify how many people get the information. I know they test it on a regular basis, like I said, but I'm not sure how that process works.
Okay. So you did mention that, yeah, and we've talked about this a little bit already, that cell towers can often go out And so people won't necessarily receive those messages, especially if they only have a cell phone system or if they're maybe out of the house, not near a landline. I haven't had a landline myself in a dozen years. Are there kind of more analog backup systems in place? Like, I feel like there used to be kind of air horns used to be a very regular common alert system to the public for various reasons. Are kind of more analog systems being considered or used?
They are. You know, when you mentioned mass notification systems, the typical air horns like they do have on the coast for tsunami warnings. Again, I favor that type of system. And at least for the Redding area, we have considered exploring what type of potential that may provide. Again, it's older technology. There are those, I've talked to other fire marshals throughout the state that have made recommendations to go back to mass notification system, which again is older technology. But I think what you want is to have a blanket effect where you don't rely on any one system. And so that's where the individual citizen comes into play. Don't rely on any one system to be foolproof. Have a backup and a plan B, including if one particular person signs up for Code Red and they're relying on that device, mobile device or otherwise, to receive information, consider getting other family members also out of the area signed up for warning events as well, to kind of spread the likelihood that, you know, an entire family may be notified versus just one person. So increase your chances of staying informed by spreading the information.
That seems like pretty good advice to me. You've answered all the questions that I had. Is there, do you have any answers to questions I didn't ask that maybe I should have?
No, just folks needing, I just like to say that people living in California are used to wildfire. And one of the problems is us as humans, we become complacent or desensitized to major events. If you live in California, any other fire prone state, you're used to fires going on throughout the summertime. And it's human nature to become complacent and kind of desensitized to think that, well, the good guys are going to show up and save the day. We do the best we can, but we can't save everything. We can't be everywhere at one time. Folks need to take responsibility for themselves, stay informed, be prepared, and follow the directions that that people like me are giving folks. Go to those websites, read the information, and make it applicable to them. You know, bad things don't always happen to other people. Sometimes bad things strike us when we least expect it, but they need to take action. You know, be informed, stay informed, take action, reach out to the local fire authorities for advice. Our job is to make sure that we reduce the risk for people that we work for. Take our information to heart and do something with it.